Paul wants the Colossians to know that Christ alone is everything. Paul is concerned that members of the church are adding false teachings, religious practices to the gospel of Christ. But he contends that our salvation and new life are in Christ alone and not any thinking of actions of man. His work on the cross is complete and sufficient. We cannot earn our salvation. It is by the grace of God that we are saved. So there is no Christ plus a philosophical argument. There is no Christ and a mystic experience or a legalistic demand or any secret mysteries. Christ alone is everything. Before addressing all these false teachings, Paul concentrates on who Christ is, that he is supreme. He teaches us a lesson: put Christ first. In chapter 1, 15 to 19, Paul explains who Jesus is, and it fills us with awe. We've just read from those little sheets about the supremacy of Christ, that he is the Son and the image of the invisible God, that all things were created through him and for him, that God was pleased to have all the fullness, his fullness, dwell in him, and that God was pleased through him to reconcile himself to all things on earth or things in heaven, making peace through his blood shed on the cross. In chapter 2, Paul explains how sufficient the work of Christ actually is, the work that only Christ could do. Just reading these verses, and if I looked at all of Colossians, I would probably come up with hundreds, but in just these verses, in him or in Christ is mentioned 15 times, and it reminds us that our faith is not in any religious practice. It's not in the things that we do, but our faith is in a person, in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that he seeks a relationship with us. In verses 6 and 7, Paul describes his hope for the Colossians. And I hope you've read the email from Tanya this week, as she eloquently describes what it is that it is to live under grace, how we should respond to Christ. Paul invites those Colossians to continue as they started, true to their faith in the gospel of Christ, rooted and built up in Christ, strengthened and established in their faith, abounding in thankfulness and gratitude. And we certainly get the image of Jesus as the vine and we are the branches. Verses 19 and 15 explain what Jesus achieved for us on the cross. And there are five things that I want to talk about. The first one is that we are brought to fullness in Christ, or made complete. In verses 9 and 10, Paul writes, "For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and in Christ you have been brought to fullness," or completeness. Now, these are remarkable statements because often we don't feel like we're complete. Do I feel complete? No, there's a long way to go, but in Christ we have been made complete. And so we must see through the eyes of faith, our faith in Christ, and trust him, trust in God's word, and understand that we are living under grace and that God sees us through the cross in Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:7 tells us that in Christ we walk by faith, not sight. Galatians 2:20 says, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved and gave himself for me." And if we are in Christ, we, of course, live under grace. And Galatians 8 got my reference wrong there, sorry. I think it's Galatians 4, 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not for yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. So we've been brought to fullness in Christ. Secondly, we are new creations. Verses 11 and 12, Paul writes, in him you were also circumcised, with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self, ruled by the flesh, was put off when you were circumcised by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism. So now we are aligned in Christ through a spiritual circumcision that he actually performs on us. He cuts away the fleshly desires and sins of our old selves. And as symbolized in baptism, we have died to the old self, and we are raised to a new life in Christ. Ephesians 4:22-24 tells us to put off the old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. So we have been brought to fullness in Christ. We are new creations and we are alive in Christ. Verse 13 says, when you were dead in your sins and the circumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. And the fourth point, that the price of our sin has been made in full. Verse 14 says, having cancelled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us, he has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. Jesus has paid the price of debt we could not pay. Only Christ could pay it. Only he is holy. We could not live up to God's holiness, but in Christ we are forgiven and made clean. The record of my sin is nailed to the cross forever. The price is paid. We now live in newness of life under his banner of grace. On the cross, Jesus cried out, "It is finished." Telleleste, it is finished. There are three meanings of this, that the sacrifice is accomplished, and this would have been very relevant to any Jewish listener. The Hebrew word was used in the sacrificial system in the Day of Atonement. The priest would make the sacrifice of a perfect lamb. He would go behind the veil, and after the sacrifice was complete, he would emerge and would declare, "It is finished." Christ is the perfect sacrifice for all sin. In him, the work of salvation is complete. Telleleste also means the work is complete. When an employee announces that they've finished their day's work or finished a job, they say, "Telleleste, it is finished." Or an artist finishing a great work of art that they've worked on and done all the touch-ups to put a veil over it and then reveal it to the audience and say, "Telleleste, it is finished." Telleleste also means the debt is paid. After the last payment of a debt, the receipt is stamped with "Telleleste, paid in full, nothing owing." So we've been brought to fullness in Christ. We are new creations. We're alive in Christ. The price of sin has been paid in full. And there is no power that has any claim over us. Verse 15. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Jesus has taken away any claim that powers or authorities have over us. They have no claim to repayment. We have a receipt paid in full. Christ put them to shame. The cross of Christ has triumphed over sin and death. Romans 8:34 says, "Who then is the one who condemns you? No one. In fact, Christ at the right hand of God intercedes for us." Christ has completed the work of salvation once and for all time. Hebrews 10:12-13 says, "But our high priest offered himself to God as a single sacrifice for sins, good for all time. Then he sat down in the place of honour at God's right hand." The cost of Christ's sacrifice was great. It's a wonderful truth, and it's a beautiful work that Christ has done. And it helps us to understand those words that we know so well. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Let's pray. Father God, we praise you for your holiness, for your goodness and kindness and your grace and mercy. Thank you that your love for us is so great, and that we can know you, that you want us to know you. We thank you for the work of Jesus on the cross. We thank you that you sought us out. We thank you for the forgiveness of sins and our debt paid. Father, help us to trust, put all our trust in you and hope in you, and to walk in the fullness of our new life in Jesus. Amen.